go.
We start our third and final hour. Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I am in Southern California in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Great to be with you on this Monday. Final week of the year. Coming up later on, Steve Smith, Senior NFL Network Analyst, joins us. But as promised, we are joined right now by a safety for the LA Chargers. He had 10 tackles in Thursday night's win over Kansas City. For the season, 79 tackles, 8 passes defensed, and an interception. Played his college ball at Texas. He was undrafted in 2014. The Chargers are 11-3. They're hosting Baltimore on Saturday night. Adrian Phillips is my guest. Adrian, really nice to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you? Thank you for having me on.
Really good to have you on. I'm doing great. So take me back to Thursday night. You go into Kansas City, which is one of the toughest places in that league to play. You do it in prime time. You have to go in there without your top two running backs. That's about as tough a challenge as there is. So what was the team's mindset going into that game?
Our mindset was no matter what, we have to get it done. You know, coming off the Cincinnati win, it was a short week. That was a tough game for us. We had to really get back on schedule and get our game plan down within 2 days, and we were on the plane by Wednesday. And going out, we realized that, you know, we weren't going to have our top two running backs. And then throughout the game, our number one receiver went down. But, you know, that's just how our team is built. We're going to win no matter what. We're going to fight with the people that we have, and we're always going to bring it.
You know, I was going to say that not only do you lose your top receiver in that game, too, but the game could not have gotten off really to a worse start. You're on the road. Phillip Rivers throws an early pick. You're down 14-0. It would have been really easy to panic, maybe even pack it in, get ready for the next week. But you guys did not do that. So what was the mood on the sideline and among the players early in the game when adversity hit?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy how it felt like you blinked and they were already up 14-0. You know, that's how electric their offense is, and their defense ended up making some great plays. But we just got back to the sideline. Everybody talked to each other, just focused on staying together. We knew that it was gonna be 60 minutes of football being played and maybe even longer. But we knew no matter what, you know, just keep fighting and just make sure we stay in tune with our techniques and just play the game and just go out there and ball.
Adrian Phillips joining us. My man, that happens to me all the time, and they pay me to do this. Don't sweat that. All right, so as a team, you held the Chiefs to a season-low 8 possessions, and you forced punts on 4 of them. How did you go about shutting down an offense that has been so explosive and so dominant?
You know, the main thing with our defense is we want to make them drive the length of the field, and there were a couple drives in there that they did a great job doing that, but offenses get a little bit antsy, you know, when they have those 15-play drives, those 12-plus play drives, you know, they kind of want to get off the field. But, you know, offenses are built on explosive plays, especially Kansas City. You know, they like to electrify the stands. They like to just light up the scoreboard. So making them have to drive the field on us, it really slowed the game down for them. And it pretty much got them out of their rhythm. And, you know, like I said, they got up on us early, but once we got back to the sideline and once we started talking and we made our checks and understand what we had to do, it really kind of slowed down for them. And our offense and special teams helped us out a lot, too.
We're talking to Charger Adrian Phillips. And then at the end of the game, Anthony Lynn decides to go for 2. Even Phillip Rivers said, I just assumed the point after we'd go into overtime. So what did you make of that decision? Did it surprise you at all? And then what did you make of how easily they were able to convert it?
So, you know, it was kind of crazy. You know, we got the 3-and-out. We had them backed up. We were down 7. We got the 3-and-out. And the defense was on the sideline. We were watching our offense work. And everybody on the sideline just kind of felt it like, hey, we want to go for 2 right here. And we didn't know what the offense was thinking. We didn't know what Coach Lynn was thinking. But, you know, everybody on the defensive side was just like, you got to go for 2 right here. We're here to win. We're not here to play all night. This is a statement game for us. This is to let the whole world know that basically, like, we're in this to win. So once we scored and we made the decision to go for 2, then things really kind of turned up a little bit because that was the game right there. You know, if you kick it, yeah, you can go to overtime and who knows what happens. But you're basically saying, hey, I'm all in right now. all bets are in, and how easily we got it. It was amazing. You know, our offense, they made a great play call, and they just went out there and executed it. And Mike Williams had an unbelievable game, and that was a great cap off for him.
Man, he did. He had an amazing game. I got to know, so what's it like to come back from down on the road to beat that team in that stadium, to win the way you won that game, and to walk off 11-3? Man, what's that feel like?
You know, it's an unbelievable feeling. It's one of those feelings that's really kind of hard to describe. We knew that we were going to win no matter what. You know, no matter what the scoreboard said, we always had it in our mind that we were going to win. But just to actually go out there and get it done, it's an unbelievable feeling. You know, it just shows the grit of our team. And it shows that we aren't the same Chargers team in the past. You know, in the past, we've let games like that slip or get out of hand once a team like Kansas City with an explosive offense gets up 14-0. But we knew that we were built for this. We did it before in Pittsburgh. You know, we were down 14 at the half. I think it ended up winning in that crazy environment, and this was another crazy environment. So we just knew that we were battle-tested, and we've done it before, so why not go do it again?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I was going to go there next. Like, it's your fifth year with the team. From the outside, it feels like this team is different than Charger teams before it. So, and you're talking about that, in fact. What changed? What is different? Why is this group different?
You know, I think it's a nice mix between the players and the coaches. You know, in the past, we've had great players. We've had, you know, great coaches, but I don't know if that camaraderie was there like it is right now. Like, everybody on our team loves everybody. You know, the coaches come down and talk to the players 24/7, and it's not always about football. It's not always about X's and O's. They actually want to know, like, how's your life going? How's your life outside of football? And when you have people that genuinely care for you and really want to know about your day, you know, it makes your job a whole lot easier. You know, it's hard to go out there and win football games, but it's a whole lot easier to get the job done when you know the person beside you and the whole staff around you fully believes in you. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Charger safety, Adrian Phillips joining us. I mean, absolutely. You want to play for the guy next to you and on the other side of you. Now, your D coordinator, Gus Bradley, said, quote, he said this about you, quote, he's got a football IQ that is, I compare it to anybody. He's just one of the most elite guys in that area that I have ever been around, end quote. I mean, to put that in proper context, when you look at the guys that he's coached, guys like Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Derek Brooks, and the fact that he does not hand out compliments like that, what's it like for you to hear that you have one of the most elite football IQs that he's ever been around, especially given who he has worked with?
It's an amazing compliment to hear. You know, when they actually told me that he said that, I was just shocked, because I really look up to Coach Gus, and I truly believe, like, in everything that he's doing in our facility. He's just a great man, a great coach, like, just a full-out great person. And to hear somebody that you look up to hold you in such high regards like that, it means a lot. It also means that, you know, the work that I've been putting in is being noticed, and, you know, just it's more motivation to keep striving, keep going in that direction, and not slow down.
Listen, before you go, let me ask about the secondary, because you're part of a loaded secondary, but something that's really unique about that secondary is the fact that you've got a few guys there who are undrafted. So what does it take from a mental toughness standpoint to go through something like that, to go undrafted, to go to a camp with a team knowing that you're expendable, and then make it and stick and star in that league? What's that process like?
You know, it's one of the toughest things to do. And I would think in any sport, because, you know, they have their draftees, the guys that they really invested in, and then you have the priority free agents, then you have the guys that they just pick up throughout the year. So being able to train your mind and, like, focus and get all of the distractions out of your way is a tough thing to do, but once you overcome it, it's one of the best feelings in the world, because you feel like you can do anything. You understand that you are expendable, and you feel like every mistake that you make they're going to cut you. Like, if someone catches a ball on you, or if you bust the coverage, or if you miss a tackle, you feel like you're going to get cut the next play. So it's one of those things where you just have to really just trust in your abilities and trust that the coaches and the front office people know what they're looking at, and just be comfortable in your own space and go out there and ball.
And then finally, is there kind of like a fraternity or like a brotherhood of guys who went undrafted and then survived? For example, when you see somebody like your teammate Michael Davis who has fallen in your footsteps, do you take him under your wing a little bit because you've been through it before?
You definitely do that. You see the undrafted rookies come in all the time. You want to help them out as much as you can because you've been in that position. You know the stress that they're going through. You know how hard it is for them to, you know, even get a meal sometimes. So you take them under your wing. You teach them everything that you know. You tell them how you handle certain situations and how they should adapt to certain situations, and you just hope that they succeed. You know, at the end of the day, everybody has to pretty much do it on their own. But when you got somebody pulling for you, when you got somebody helping you, you got somebody that you can look up to, it makes it a lot more manageable because they come up to you, they ask you questions, and they want to see how you see certain things and what did you do in this specific situation. So, like Mike Davis, Jaleel, when I was a rookie, you know, he came and talked to me. He showed me the process. I passed it down to Trevor, and then I passed it down to Mike Davis, and, you know, hopefully Mike passes it down to other rookies that are coming in. So, It's a great brotherhood to be a part of. And our DB room, I would put all the money in the world that our DB room is the closest in the league. And we just love each other.
Man, I'll tell you what, you hear that. When you lay it out like that and you hear it like that, it's not a surprise to me that this football team is not only 11-3, but is resilient and is as tough as it is and has come back the way it has on teams like Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Next up, Saturday night at home against Baltimore, Chargers safety Adrian Phillips, my guest. Adrian, appreciate you. That was great. Really enjoyed that, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Man, that was great. Sincerely, have a great day. Good luck this weekend. Adrian Phillips, Chargers. And, you know, he was honest in saying, because he's been there 5 years, that was not necessarily a game that we win in the past, but we're different now. We came back on Pittsburgh. We knew we were going to win that game. Even when we fell behind, we still knew we were going to win that game. And then they did. And they went out and they executed. I love the fact, too, that the defense was on the sideline going, let's go for two, man. We're not here to tie. We're here to win the game. And then Anthony Lynn sent it in. We came here to win. Let's get the win and get the hell out of here. And they did. They're different. This team is definitely a different Charger team. If you're in San Diego listening, what's it like to watch them now? To see that kind of heart, that kind of grit? To see them come back on Pittsburgh? To see them come back on KC? Or do you just want to talk more about what happened yesterday in Mission Valley? This email is, hey, what's up, Jim? And my thanks to Adrian Phillips. That's an undrafted player out of Texas who's 5 years in and playing at a really high level. What's up, Jim? I was the dude behind the scope wearing the Ray Liotta shirt of him smoking before Shantix did whatever it did to his face. Let me stop right there. I tried to explain to this guy that the meds did not do that to his face. His face would probably be worse if not for the meds. Smoking did that to his face. And whatever doctor he went to did that to his face, allegedly. I was the dude behind the scope wearing the Ray Liotta shirt of him smoking before Shantix did whatever it did to his face. The morning started off a little slow early on, so we could still hear chatter from the other tables. It took one of my crew about 30 seconds to pick out Fabian's voice. We turn around, and there he was sitting with Rich Flores and the CEO. We called him over. He began to tell us the backstory of his famous calls. From there, he started making the rounds, holding court at strangers' tables, giving dap to everybody he talked to. And by dap, I mean bomb squad level fist bumps. The lucky table saw him drink their beer. He was soon on a first name basis with security. He absolutely stole the show. As for you and your crew, you guys could not have been nicer. Totally accessible, making time for everybody. A special thanks for the signed headshot from my guy, Charlie in Goochland, who is battling right now. Were you coming home to San Diego? Hester in SD. My man, Sean Hester, Esquire, ESQ. He was going bomb squad level fist bumps. All right, so when we come back, in fact, I'll reset that for you when we come back. My thoughts on what that was like yesterday in Mission Valley. Great day. Great, great day. Again, thanks to Adrian Phillips. Chargers, 11-3. They've got the Ravens coming in. Coming up in about 20 minutes, I've got Steve Smith Sr. joining us. My recap of the Mission Valley run when we come back. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you saw us bump back with your holiday cards. Hawk, are you still taking holiday cards? Send your holiday cards to rome@haveitake.com. rome@haveitake.com. If it's high resolution and it's presentable, we will put them on TV. Send us your holiday cards. Make sure you're fully clothed. rome@haveitake.com. Meantime, spread holiday cheer with Panera Bread gift cards. Soup, salad, sandwiches. Bakery treats are a gift that everybody will love. Plus, every $50 in gift cards purchased will get a $10 bonus card for you. Order online or visit your local Panera for more details. Check it out. Also, the ATP. Let me slide that in right now because Steve Smith Sr. joins me next segment. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ask the pros. This question comes from Adam in Lincoln. Jim, I know Hawk has been a member of the XR4TI for a couple of years now, but do you ever look back and think about how far this guy's come? Sure, he still does not know sports, but this is a dude who turned down a top shelf beverage with his two bosses because of something called dryuary on his first trip with the boss. He also asked Julio Jones the dumbest question ever. I saw the scopes yesterday and your photos on Instagram. It didn't even look like he was that embarrassing. You got to admit, he is making some serious progress. Way to go, Hawk. Signed, another dude named Adam. If you say so, Adam. I don't know what you're talking about at all. I didn't notice any of that. All right, two things. Number one, Hawk called Craig Kitchen and asked him how to dress. Number two, there has been some progress because we stayed, we worked, and then we left. We wanted to get back. So Hawk and I are driving back up. We're driving north, and all of a sudden, I'm like, damn, dude, I'm starving. How about you? You know, I'm pretty hungry too, Jim. Let's get something to eat. We stop in Cardiff by the sea. We find some spot, Oceanside, that we just kind of dropped in on. And normally, it's not kind of part of my my rhythm. You know, I'm not a guy that... I mean, you know my deal, right? I'll have a cocktail on Friday night. I'll have a cocktail on Saturday night. Nothing between Sunday and Thursday. It's just not my deal. But after something like that, I'm like, you know, man, a beer would be pretty nice. We're at the beach. I get the Heineken, which I took a picture of, and Hawk. Now, back in the day, if it were dryuary, he would have ordered water. Hawk's like, yeah, well, what kind of IPAs do you have? So Hawk's coming around. It took a little while. Got himself a little IPA. Sculpin, in fact. Local San Diego IPA. Not only that, my man broke his diet, went hardcore burger, fries, IPA. He's coming around. The kid's learning. Still not entirely presentable. Still looks a little goofy in the way he shows up and dresses. But better. Definitely better. All right, let's go to the phones. This guy was a guy who made quite an impression yesterday. Worked the room. I'm not sure how many beers he had or how many fists he broke, but he made a really significant impression upon a number of people in Los Angeles. Fabian, doggy dog, how you feeling today?
Doggy dog, good morning. I'm feeling awesome, dude. Thanks to everyone. I mean, they made me feel like a star, my man, you know. I don't know what to tell you. The thing of... You know, the Dick Flowers pretty much took me out there, but he had to go to the Rams game, you know, so he took off. But I told him, you know, that not to worry, you know, I would get a ride back one way or another, you know. The problem is that my phone went dead, you know, and I couldn't call anyone, you know. And I, honestly, you know, nowadays, you know, I remember back in the day, I used to remember, like, numbers like that, you know. Now I just depend on the phone and on the names, you know, so I don't know any numbers and stuff. So, yeah, found a place. Keep drinking, and charge my phone, and then finally called my lady up, and she went and picked me up. But I had all kinds of fun, man, you know?
So what did your lady say, Fabian, when you called her up and said, you got to come down here and get me? What did she think about that?
Well, she was like, well, do any of the people kind of like live towards this side? I'm like, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be like bugging people, you know? So just, you know, get in the car and come pick me up, you know? And that's that, you know? And so, you know, she's an awesome woman. So she did, you know, she didn't, you know, no long face, no nothing. She just hoped that I had a good time, and, you know, which I did, you know? And now she's calling me a superstar over here, you know?
Well, Fabian, you had a good time. You had a really good time. Listen, true or false, did they cut you off, or are the clones just saying that?
No. They definitely cut me off, you know? And I was thinking to myself, you know, it's like, damn, they just can't handle the truth, you know?
They just can't handle the truth. What was the truth that they could not handle? What did you want to tell them
handle? Well, they're like, oh, you could just drink, like, I don't they have a little limit, but that limit is just too little, you know?
Yo, bro, at one point, did you try to get the microphone, and were you going to start doing your own show? What was that all about?
You know what? I did plan on that. Like, I was trying to get the mic. They just wouldn't let me get it, you know? I was going to get it cracking, man, you know?
You were going to get it cracking. Yeah, because I was boring
That's
everybody,
right.
Man. You should have, dude. You should have. They wouldn't let you get at the mic. They wouldn't let you get at the beer. But other than that, it was awesome. Oh, dude.
Yep.
Fabian, you also, the other thing where you made your mark, you were breaking people's fists with your fist bumps. What was that all about?
Hey, I'll go back to that, man. You guys just can't handle the truth.
All right, my man. I'm glad you made it back. Nice job, Fabian. Rack him. Neep.
Neep.
We just can't handle the truth. Yeah, excuse me, sir. You've been cut off. Really? Well, you can't handle the truth. Give me the beer, give me the mic, and stick your fist out. Let's see if we can handle this. So Fabian said that his phone died. Rich Flores took him down. He had to go to the Rams game. He had to find his own way back, but his phone died. So he kept drinking, and he found a place to charge the phone. You know, he said something else that's so true, right? Does anybody know any telephone numbers anymore? Why would you? You don't have to. You go to your contacts. He's so right about that. And his lady thinks he's a superstar now. Fabian, he's going to be on tour. I said, man, what was the thing about the mic? Why were you reaching for the mic? Because I want to get that place cracking.
I was going to get it cracking, man, you know?
You know. Oh, I know, Fabian.
You know.
I know. All right, when we come back, Steve Smith Sr. joins us, NFL Network analyst. You've heard from the man, Fabian. He's alive. He's fine. He's well. He had a great day. His lady had to come all the way down to Mission Valley from L.A. to get him. I mean, you know. That's like 70 miles
you know.
Or more. You know. Once again, you want to spread the holiday cheer with Panera Bread gift cards. Soups, salad sandwiches, bakery treats are a gift that everybody will love. Plus, for every $50 in gift cards purchased, you get a $10 bonus card for yourself. Order online or visit your local Panera for more details. We are efforting Steve Smith Sr. In the meantime, Wolf Nathan 49 tweets, freaking love me some Fabes. Dude was cut off before noon. Outstanding. At the Salty 112 tweets, Fabian is the friend you want, but won't admit you have. Sarah sent that.
They just can't handle the truth, you know?
Dear Jim, Philly really turned the Rams inside out. Yours, Artie Lang's beak. Brett from Bugaha, wore my takes landing harder than a Fabian fist bump. Wore in L.A. or O.C. Wild Wings hit.
Yeah.
We just hit Mission Valley. At Pauly T. Wall tweets, you know Fabian has done some crazy bleep when he doesn't even seem phased by being stranded 70 miles from home. He did tweet about halfway through it, I am stuck in San Diego. And then his phone died.
You know what?
What? He got stuck in San Diego, but he just kept drinking. He charged his phone. He found his lady and said, you got to come get me. Neep! And she said, is there not anybody down there who's close by? He's like, you know, I don't want to ask anybody for anything. Adam Hawk, let me borrow you for a minute. All right, so Hawk's going to march this thing in here. This is pretty amazing. Check this out. I'm efforting Steve Smith. Thanks for that.
Yep.
What this is. Now, Rich Flores brought this to me. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see it. If not, I'll explain it to you. It's a picture of Fonzie on skis, and he signed the picture. It says, the big Jim R., I did it for Potsy. Henry Winkler, in his leather jacket, on skis, saying he did it for Potsy. Alvy, which goes back to the famous, famous day and the famous show where it worked its way all the way back to the Fonz. A bit when he was in Canada working on a movie set, we did a bit that kept growing and growing and growing throughout the show, and it worked its way back until he finally called us.
The fact of the matter is that all through the episodes, I was always plagued by Potsy, but I always kept my word. So I said, hey, I told Potsy I would do this, and put my thumb up and jumped the shark.
That's it. I mean, that's the whole story. It's one of the most famous lines ever. He jumped the shark. He jumped the shark. And that references anything that's kind of tired, kind of played out, kind of faded. That when Fonzie jumped the shark, after Fonzie had jumped so many things on Happy Days, when they put this guy on a pair of skis and asked him to jump a shark, that's when the show jumped the shark. Or when anything jumped the shark. But I maintained that he said that he told Potsy he was doing it for him. And a lot of you said, no, that's not true. I watched the show, Rome. I found the show on YouTube. He never said that. So he trusts me. He said that. And then he came on the show that day and admitted he said it. And now you've got the picture to go along with it. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a five-time Pro Bowl player. He retired as the seventh overall leader in league history in receiving yardage. He was seventh in all-purpose yardage. He was 12th in league history in receptions. He is an NFL Network analyst, and you can watch Steve every Sunday morning on NFL Network's Good Morning Football Weekend at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. Steve Smith Sr. is my guest. Steve, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. I'm doing great. Listen, the year, man, what a weird and unpredictable year it's been. It was not that long ago, for instance, that the Rams and the Chiefs were so explosive on offense, and now both teams are coming off a loss. The Rams' offense does not look the same, right? So when you look at the league right now overall, who are the teams that impress you the most?
Well, all the teams that have impressed us, the Cowboys, the Bears, the Rams, the Saints, right? Early on, the Jacksonville Jaguars, all those teams have really started to go in a different direction. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they come out and, you know, they're on their 3-4 game losing streak. Then they come out and play pretty good against the New England Patriots team who is traditionally well prepared. They look well prepared. They just got outplayed. And then also, too, you know, being here in Carolina, they started off hot in the Fumi month of September. October, now they falter and they're, you know, trying to survive. Miami, look at Miami, what they're doing. So it's a lot of different things going on, and you just have absolutely no idea who is true and who isn't.
That's what I'm saying. Week to week, you have no idea. No idea whatsoever. Steve Smith Sr., my guest. So, Steve, what about this? Can a team like the Bears, that is so good defensively but not an elite-level team offensively yet, can they win a Super Bowl in today's NFL, or is it going to come down to how explosive your offense is?
I believe they can win, just like anybody else. The Philadelphia Eagles has showed us that based on having a Nick Foles come in and really take over that team for a team that was led by Carson Wentz, what, pretty much 90% of the time. So I think they can, but this is how they're going to have to do it. Everybody looks at Mitch Trubisky and I think undeservingly talk bad about him, because you got to understand Matt Nagy has done some remarkable things. John Fox was a defensive minded coach who believes in offenses. Don't screw it up. I'll leave it to my defense to dominate. And so what Mitch Trubisky is he's almost in his rookie year learning a whole new system. He is very good in the first quarter. He's very good when he is only reading when he's one read kind of quarterback. That's where he is currently right now as his second year in the league, but his first year with Matt Nagy. So when it's under 2.5 seconds throwing the ball, he's pretty efficient. Almost 80%. He's about 75%. But other than that, when he gets off script, when they have to have him read multiple coverages with the responsibility of Matt Nagy's offense, he drops into 63%. He's 15 touchdowns versus 9. But when he's in that one read system, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. I mean, 115 quarterback passer rating. When he's not, he's 89%. So that just shows you he's still trying to figure things out.
Steve Smith Sr. joining us. Steve, there was a video, I don't know if you've seen this, from last night's game, Eagles and Rams, where Marcus Peters left the bench to talk to a fan who appeared to be jawing at him. I don't know if you've seen that video, but when you were playing, you have or you have not?
I have not seen the video.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. Like, when you played, how often were fans screaming at you when you were on the bench?
Oh, I mean, I've been called a ton of names. I was at one time, there was, it's probably mean for me to say, there was a lady who was calling me all kind of names. Nothing racial, she was calling me a midget. She was calling me all this stuff. And she stood up, and this was probably about the third quarter. So it was about three quarters full. I turned around, I looked at her, and I said, "What trimester are you in?" And she quit talking, and she sat down, and I didn't hear from her again.
Wow.
And hence, she was not pregnant.
Wow.
So, you know, sometimes you got to be careful. So, you know, some people are savages like me, and then there are some people that are not like her. So she learned very quickly that there are just some people you pick on. Another instance, there was a video out that I cursed at someone, and this guy kept heckling me. He was in, what was it? It was the New England Patriots. And he said, I said F you to him, which I did not. He goes, "You suck, you suck, you suck." He kept saying that. You F, you know, fans sometimes got to be careful what they wish for.
My man, you are a savage. Steve Smith Sr. joining us on the program. You know, where do you draw the line? I mean, do they have license? If they buy a ticket, does that give them license to say anything they want, or is there a line?
I mean, sometimes, you know, these guys get alcohol in them, and that's what they do. But for the most part, playing in Carolina, there was a guy in Atlanta for years who heckled me, but it was in good fun. At one point, I mean, I played here 13 years, so at one point, you know, about the seventh year, I'm like, this dude's a season holder. He's a PSO owner. I looked forward to seeing if he was going to be at the game.
Huh.
You know, I actually, hey, Merry Christmas. How's the family? It got to a point where it was respectable, because you're seeing somebody once a year for 13 years. I mean, after a while, bro, you're running out of material, right? So he was just like, "Man, it's good to see you. I'm back." And I would always say, "Me too." And he would say, "I'm tired of seeing you." And I would say, "I'm tired of seeing you." Right? But it was out of good fun. And here's the cool part. I go through Thursday Night Football when Atlanta played New Orleans. No lie, I see the guy. And he looks at me, and I just looked at him, and it was really cool. So, you know, those are the things, those are the parts of football that you kind of look forward to. You seeing the same people, you know, but then there's other parts where some people believe because they bought a ticket, because they feel wherever they feel that they're going to say, and you got to take it. And I just think there are some fans who get out of line. They have. And that's just part of it. And I'm not sure why they think just because they buy a ticket that they can talk to you any old kind of way. And then you can't say anything in return.
Steve Smith Sr. joining us. I agree. It does not give you license to say or do anything that you want. All right, now what about the Panthers? They've lost five straight going to tonight's game against New Orleans. Where are they at in your mind as a team right now? What do you see when you look at them?
Well, I see a team that, you know, obviously has a quarterback who is very efficient, who's athletic. I mean, talentedly gifted, right? Can put the ball anywhere. But this is a team where you had high hopes for them. Like I said, the Fool Me Month of September, they did a great job, right? Just like a lot of other teams. But things have unraveled for a number of reasons. And it's not necessarily, you know, everybody's talking about the culture. Coaches don't tackle. They don't throw. They don't catch, right? And so sometimes coaches do get too much credit and also get and don't get enough credit at times. But that's that healthy balance. Baltimore, if you don't win, blame goes everywhere. And it goes and it starts at the top of that, as possibly the GM, head coach, and then players and so forth. So you will see if things continue the way they're going, you got to understand a new owner. He's not necessarily – his patience is there, but the way they've lost and the type of teams they've lost to, you kind of get worried for people. Because even with Tampa Bay, they lost that Tampa Bay game, but they almost lost it the first time at home. So it's not necessarily a surprise if you really look at it under a microscope, like I'm required to do watching film every week.
So, Steve, what's it like now? You and I talked about your entire career, and you were always extremely focused on the game and the job, and then you had some things off the field that were interesting to you and you'd pursue when you had that time. But now you're breaking down film, but for a different reason, not to go out there and be a gladiator every Sunday, but to do a different kind of job. What's it like to get in the dark room, break down that film, and do the job you do right now? Is it close to what it used to be, or is it nothing like that?
Well, it's still the same where I'm watching film to find out what, why, how. Right. So the little nuggets that I said about Mr. Trubisky is, you know, finding out what does he do well? Why does he do it well? What doesn't he do well? So I sit there and watch film. Also, too, you know, one of the things that's very frustrating as an analyst is when I'm watching every week, like the Cowboys. It took me 4 or 5 weeks to jump on the Cowboys bandwagon. Then I have that foot and mouth disease. At Thursday night when they just beat the brakes off the New Orleans Saints. So I'm right there. I'm eating my humble pie on television. I'm watching it. And then I pick them, and then they go out there and get a goose egg. You never know what's going to happen. You know, just the culture of the league as an analyst is literally week to week. You can be surprised and not know whatever. I mean, look at Cleveland Browns. You know, I know Hugh Jackson. I'm a huge fan of him. I know what he can do. But who would have thought the Cleveland Browns, after letting him go, are ascending, not descending, under Greg Williams?
Because nobody knows anything. And if you yourself are saying that, then I know that's a fact. That nobody knows anything week to week. And that's what makes the thing so fascinating. You can watch Steve Smith Sr. every Sunday on NFL Network's Good Morning Football Weekend at 7 a.m. Eastern. Steve, what a great job, man. I appreciate you so much. Great to have you back.
Appreciate it.
That's how you close the show, Steve Smith Sr. And he did. My man's a savage. Heat-branded products are designed to keep your fuel system flowing even under the harshest conditions. Remove water, raise MPGs, clean the fuel system. Heat, baby. There's the Monday edition. Thank you very much for listening. Have yourselves an amazing day. The RPO podcast dropping later on today. Look for it. See you then. We're out.